Good morning. Let's turn to James chapter 1 as we start a new book. And this will carry us all the way through to the fast. And like I mentioned before, on Wednesday morning, we'll break our fast together with communion. And so we'll have an abbreviated service because I know you have to go to work and everything. And then our staff prepared some kanji for you guys, and so after your communion, you can go in the back and enjoy some kanji and then head on out to work. Okay, and that's Wednesday, okay, which is the 22nd day of the fast, and we'll break it then. All right, James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of his appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Amen. Amen. This book of James is written, most likely, there's a couple of different theories, but probably the one that stands out the most is this is written by James, the brother of Jesus. And a lot of the things that he has to say would seem to be a bit, not necessarily contrary, but a bit opposed to the rest of the scriptures. In this aspect, he talks about the faith and works, and actually emphasizes works, where most of Pauline literature actually emphasizes faith. And so it would seem to be a point that it was important that James would write this, James being the brother of Jesus. And so I don't think you could really argue with that pedigree. And James, if you read Acts 15 and other passages in Acts, James eventually, for whatever reason, we don't know why, but he really becomes the preeminent leader of the church in Jerusalem. So much so in Acts 15, when James pretty much says his opinion, it goes. And so it seems like he becomes, in essence, the chief apostle in Jerusalem. And so with that way, he carries the weight to bring a letter like this. He starts off and he says that he's a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he creates this letter to the 12 tribes that are dispersed throughout dispersed abroad. You remember generally how God kind of works is that there is a scattering, what we call the diaspora, the dispersion. There's a scattering that happens as a result of persecution, and it's happening now. Most likely, he's not really talking to the, he's not necessarily speaking to just the Jews, but probably the Christian Jews that are literally scattered all abroad, scattered everywhere. And he gives this first word, and he says, hey, consider it joy when you're going through different trials and temptations. And the reason why he's saying this is because if you understand the history during this time, imagine a Jewish Christian, imagine what you're going through. Number one side, you have the Jews that think you're crazy. And not just think you're crazy, I mean, that actually will put you in harm's way because you're coming against their faith. In a Jewish person's mind in the first century, they're thinking, what are you, some kind of idiot? You are following a condemned criminal. You're giving your life to someone that was crucified, which was the worst thing that can happen. And it's kind of like, what kind of crazy nut are you to follow this crucified, convicted criminal? And so in their mind, it's just wacky what they're thinking, and there's a lot of persecution. Alongside of that, there's also zealots, a part of the Jewish race that are trying to fight against the Romans, and they're just looking for any excuse to crucify somebody. And then you have the Romans on top of that that are just ruthless and eventually sees Christianity, this sect that they'll call it, this way, they see this as a threat to their empire and eventually will start killing them in Colosseums. And then on top of that, you have pagans. You have people that make their livelihood and their living by selling all kinds of spiritual gadgets and all kinds of things. And the true God, the Holy Spirit now has come. And so now you got all these pagans that are going after you. Thus, we have the book of Acts that shows all these people, Alexander, and all these ones that come against them because they were taking away their livelihood and their trade. And so you've got enemies everywhere around you. Imagine these Christian, these Jewish Christians, they're backed in the corner. Everyone wants a piece of them. And so the word of the Lord to this group of people is, hey, consider it joy when you encounter these various trials. It's such an appropriate word and an appropriate time. That's what's meant by prophetic. It's the right word at the right time. And so James comes and he tells them, consider all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. In Greek, trials and temptations, actually it's the same word. It's the same root of words. And so they use it interchangeably, but there is a distinction. And the way that I'm going to distinguish it for you guys is what I feel like the way James has done it is, think of it this way. They're basically the same thing in essence, but the difference is a trial is outside pressure. Something coming from the outside that's testing you in that way. Trial, test, temptation, same word. So think of an outside thing coming. A temptation is an inward testing, so to speak. And so just to clarify, even though the same root word and the same family of words, the one, when you see trials, especially in James, think of it as an outside pressure. And temptation, think of it as an inward pressure. Like we're tempted, but it's an inward struggle that we have. Whereas maybe some of the abuse and things are coming from the outside. Okay, just to give you a clarity. But at the same time, even that, I'll be honest, even that is not sufficient because the words are interchanged with each other in this passage. So he says, consider it joy. I mean, this is really, in many ways, the opposite effect of what we feel like we should be feeling when we encounter trials, isn't it? We feel like I've done something wrong, what's happened, but it's a mind shift. You change the way you think, and it changes your focus and your outlook on everything. There's something about that. Remember the brothers in the book of Acts, early on in Acts, when James and James and Peter, two of those guys. And so they went and they were punished. They were whipped and everything. And remember, they came back and they reported back to the brethren and they rejoiced that they got whipped. They rejoiced that they were in prison. They rejoiced because they got beat up, because they said, oh, we suffered for Jesus' name. That's a good attitude change. And that's the kind of attitude that James wants to relay to these guys. When I was a youth pastor, we always had very good disciples. And some of them, I mean, you met one, Pastor Brian, that you met here. There's a few other ones. Most of them are in ministry. And what would end up happening is whenever I would go on a trip and I travel, for some reason I would get hurt. It was just the craziest thing. I get like hit by a car, or you know, I tear my ACL, or something crazy would happen. Almost every trip I went on, I suffered physically in some way. And when I came back, you know, like I'm usually in crutches, or I'm in a wheelchair, or something's happening. And my students came up to me, and it's not like, oh, Pastor Sam, so sorry to hear about this. The response was, oh man, I'm jealous. You know, why do you get to suffer for God? You know, I want to break my leg too, you know, out there. I know sometimes we think that these guys might be crazy in an essence, but they had this idea that James had. Man, what a joy it is to be considered worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. And what happens is that you encounter these trials, what happens is your faith gets tested. And then when it gets tested, and the testing means it's a positive result, then it produces endurance. And then endurance has its perfect result, that you are perfect, you're mature, lacking in nothing. I think most of us, this is what we're looking for, isn't it? I think you came out this morning because you want to be more mature. You came out because you want to grow. You want to be more like Christ. You want your life to resemble His life. And this is a really stark reality for us, that if that's the case, there's going to be some trials coming your way. There are going to be some temptations. There are going to be some level of suffering. Remember, Paul tells his spiritual son, Timothy, he says, all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. There'll be an aspect of persecution, trials, temptations that are going to come our way. Some are external that happens, and a lot of it, honestly, will be internal, will be these temptations in our life that we need to overcome. And it's important for us to wrap our brains around this and really grasp that. And if you don't understand the difference, well, look what James does. He gives us the way out. He says, hey, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't know the difference of if this temptation or this trial, if God is doing something with that, then ask God. Ask him for wisdom, because he gives it to us. He gives generously to everyone who asks. And honestly, this is true. I've seen this in my own life. I'll be put into a situation. I'll have times where it seems like there's no way out, and I will humble myself before God. I say, God, I have no clue what to do. I have no idea. And honestly, you know, I don't really consider myself to be a highly intelligent person, but man, something just boom, just clicks, and I feel like, wow, this is a great idea. And it's for me, it's happened so many times in my life, especially leadership issues and different things, that I recognize, yeah, God gives generously to those that ask, but he says, you have to ask in faith, which leads to this phrase that he continually uses, this aspect of being double-minded. And he says, if you're double-minded, verse 8, he said, if you're double-minded, you become unstable in all of your ways. And so it's important for us to recognize that. What's the opposite of double-mindedness? Single-mindedness. I know it's the morning, but you can figure it out. Single-mindedness. Meaning purposeful. When you're double-minded, there is not a singular purpose. I mean, not just one purpose, but there's an aspect of our life, there's an honesty of heart. Compare that to verse 17 in James, where he says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom there is no shifting and no variation. There's no shadow whatsoever. And so he's making this contrast in this chapter 1 about this double-mindedness, shifty, shaky, lack of integrity. And then you have God, on the other hand, who's solid, single-minded, focused, purposeful. He says, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Boom, solid. And so he makes this distinction between a double-minded man, and double-mindedness is laid out in a couple ways, and he'll explain a little bit more later on as we go through the text. Double-minded man says one thing, does something else. That's double-mindedness. A single-minded man says something and follows through with it, like God. There's an honesty of heart, a purity of heart that comes out in this place. And so he reminds me, he says, hey, make sure that you're not double-minded. You know, double-mindedness, and if you look, I used this illustration before, double-mindedness and the aspect of instability. If you're double-minded, you can't fight. You can't fight. You can't warfare because you're not stable. It just doesn't work that way. And so it's important for us to recognize what James is trying to tell us. And then we get to verse 12. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This reward, a lot of scholars, they call this the lover's crown. And what this lover's crown is, it's for those that endure. It's those that overcome temptations. It's those that come out of this place, the love of God poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5. And every believer gets the eternal crown, but he's talking about a specific crown. And in the New Testament, there's particularly 5 crowns that are laid out for us, and all seem to be reward for a certain function or an overcoming of certain things. Some have called this the martyr's crown. Could be, but I just like the general definition of just the lover's crown. And so that was verse 12, and then it continues on. And it says, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. And so we make sure that God does not tempt us. And, you know, we did the study last Wednesday on the omnipotence of God. And we shared in that Bible study that there's actually many things that God can't do. One of the things God can't do is he can't tempt people. He can't stop loving as well. And so he cannot deny himself. There's a lot of these things. So we define omnipotence in a very specific way, which I thought was pretty good, actually. And then he talks about this temptation, and this is what happens. And notice the order by which this works in our life. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And you see this pattern, and I don't know, I mean, if you're in Cascade or like doing inner healing stuff, this is like the perfect definition of it. It comes out of that weakness that's inside of us. But the way I've always explained it was, every single one of us has weakness. So we all have these issues or whatnot. But when weakness is not submitted to God, weakness can very easily turn into wickedness, which is sin. And we see the process of how this works. That we every single one of us, as individuals, we have a proclivity towards certain devices or evil or, you know, whatever you want to call it, certain issues in our life, sometimes generationally, sometimes out of our upbringing, sometimes out of negative experiences. And so these proclivities are being fed by images or things that are happening to us and whatnot. And if we don't clean up, if we don't deal with our stuff, then we see how this gets sprouted and our weakness, which every person has, you're not faulted for your weaknesses, But when it's unsubmitted to God, in other words, when you don't give it to the Lord, then next thing you know, it could very easily turn into wickedness. And we see this progression that happens here. Let's just move on a little bit. I'm kind of running out of time. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. This is really important for us to recognize. Don't just listen. This is the idea, and this is one of the favorite passages of Navigators. And Navigators is a very Bible-based discipleship, outreach ministry in college campuses and whatnot. And actually, our Growing in Christ is actually Navigator material. But it's this aspect of you have to learn to apply God's word in your life. You have to learn to take in the messages that you're learning and that you're hearing, but the key is you have to learn to apply that. That's why it's important that you're in house church, that you get to talk through the sermons and the things that you're discussing to bring out an application of how we can bring that into our life. Because if we don't, the Bible says we're merely deluding ourselves. And so we're not just hearers, but we're doers. That there's a manifestation of the hearing operating out of what we do. Amen? I think we'll just stop here for now. So let's close our eyes. Let's think about this aspect of double-mindedness. Are there any aspects of your life where there's not an honesty of heart that shifts here to there? Are there certain convictions in our life that we're not following through? And ask Holy Spirit to speak to you about that aspect of double-mindedness. And allow Him to move in your life in a powerful way. That He brings us into the mind of Christ, where there is no variation or shifting shadow. Let's pray together as we worship. Thank you.
is gracious and compassionate.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray particularly if you are encountering a season of trial or you feel like a season of temptation or something like that. Now, we just want to pray for you this morning. I just feel like Holy Spirit just kind of leading our prayer time today. And we just want to minister to you and pray for a shift to occur in our minds that we begin to begin to recognize that God is working somehow through it. And that if anything, that our attitude needs to have an adjustment. And that we just trust God. And if you don't understand, ask God for that wisdom. He gives to those who ask. And so if you're here this morning and you recognize there's either an external trial coming or an internal temptation, it doesn't really matter. The result is the same. And so whatever the case may be, we just want to minister to you this morning. Can I just ask you to stand here this morning? Just wherever you're at. And we're just going to pray for you. I want to ask God to do a really deep, deep thing today. And so as we're sitting and there's some friends of ours, let's just surround our friends here like we typically do on a Sunday. And if you see someone standing around you, you move over and minister to them and pray. Pray for resolution. Pray for resolve. Pray for wisdom and what God is doing in their life. And pray for an attitude change. And I believe that God's going to do something very deep in your life right now. And so let's just pray for our friends, huh? Let's just lift them up before God and just watch what God does. Let Him use you. If you feel like you have a prophetic word to share, go for it and share to that person. Let's just pray. And if you're not around someone, just stretch out your hand around somebody and let's just lift them to the Lord right now. And let's minister God's grace to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Lord just touch you deeply this morning. Open up your mind to understand what God is doing. God is always at work around you. He's doing something in these circumstances, in these situations. And all you need to do is submit to them. Submit. Offer up your weakness before God. Well, let's just keep praying. Let's keep pressing in. Thank you, Father. Father, continue to minister to our friends, God, as they endure this season. Let there be an atmosphere change, God, around their situation, and also, God, a change in their mindset, Father. Lord, bless them, God. Just draw them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just go straight to the mission prayer focus. Let's intercede. This morning, let's pray for Chris. Let's pray for NK and the work there and future projects that we may be involved with. Let's pray for Korea as well and future projects that SP might be involved with. Let's pray for Japan, Northeast Asia. Let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu, our friend in Kobe. And let's ask the Lord to just minister amongst these countries and amongst these people and that God would continue to open doors for SP to be involved in these countries. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church ministries, and let's pray for IP, The Well, and Cascade, these guys that are front runners and engage the enemy on our behalf, and let's lift them up. Pray for the leaders, Matt, Rachel, and Larry, and let's ask God to cover them and all the volunteers. Let's pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church, our mother church, and let's ask God to continue to bless them and be with Pastor Choi and the leaders and elders, and they would just worship the Lord righteously and just give Him everything. Let's just lift up the Korean church. Let's pray for our house church's meeting tonight, the Elements, Conduit, and Robinson Road. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to breathe life on these house churches and be with the leaders and they have a great, great first session. And let's pray. Let's pray this morning for Ben. Let's pray to remain faithful to the fast during these 2 weeks of work and travel. Pray for a relationship with his family to be restored and God be the center of their lives. A radical change for the Lord in 2013 and to submit wholeheartedly to the church. Let's just lift up Ben, especially as he travels. Let's pray for Matt. Let's pray that he would grow in tasting and seeing the goodness and love of God, to grow in discerning God's voice, increase faith and courage and joy of the Lord, to know his next step in his destiny and to walk in it and breakthrough in his career, and anointing and wisdom to lead IP, unity and love in the team and expansion. Let's pray for Matt and his ministry. And lastly, let's pray this morning for Solomon. But he just got recently engaged. Pray for protection, growth, and unity, and spirit and truth. Pray for a wealth mentality, embracing true sonship, and separating from the spirit of poverty. Pray for leadership, living out Christ-like leadership at home, church, and work. And for his health, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Let's pray for Saul. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for your word. Teach us to be doers and not just hearers, God. And whenever we encounter trials and temptations, Lord, God, help us to see the bigger picture in it, God, that you're doing something. You want us to be mature and complete. And so help us to shift our attitudes, God, our mindsets, Lord. Now watch over us the rest of this day, God. We want to give your son Jesus all the glory that he deserves. So give us the opportunity, God, to do that, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.